Little Tiny contains bad language, sex scenes, all the good stuff. And my reading of history, which is maybe a bit contentious. On April 9th, 1912, David Blair, a young British officer working for a prestigious shipping company, was fired. Not because he was bad at his job, but because someone of higher rank had unexpectedly become available. And just like that, Blair was replaced. Life just isn't fair sometimes, I suppose. Immediately after he was fired, Blair was rushed to pack his things and escorted off the ship, which was having its maiden voyage the very next day. Blair's replacement, Lieutenant Henry Tingle Wilde, was also rushed. Rushed onto the ship and into the position of first officer. In the mutual rush, they'd both overlooked a minor detail. A very small item that might have averted a massive disaster. On the RMS Titanic. You're listening to Little Tiny, a podcast about the small things that have changed the world. I'm Kara Schlegel, and this episode is The Key. The history of this legendary ocean liner is best captured, I think, in James Cameron's masterpiece, Titanic. If you haven't seen this seminal film starring the objects of my own sexual awakening, then let me give you a quick summary of what happens next. Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet step onto the largest passenger ship ever built. They dance with the poor, they spit on the rich, they fall in love in spite of their class differences, and they have sex in the back of a classic 1912 Renault. Right after coitus, as though to metaphorically represent the cataclysmic union of a boy from the streets with a girl from the upper echelons of society, the ship crashes into an iceberg. The Titanic sinks, killing over 1,500 men, women, and children. And also Leonardo DiCaprio, which, I mean, don't even get me started. The man saves Kate's life multiple times, and she doesn't even try to get him on that door, or, I don't know, switch places with him, rotate, make women heroes in their own stories. That's all I'm saying. You might wonder how the largest passenger ship of 1912 could be sunk by an iceberg, or moreover, how so many people died. And my poor Leo, why did he have to die? The water was so cold. His hair was frozen, his little icicles. Well, there are a lot of very thorough internet forums that can answer these questions for you. What I will say is that there are many theories about the factors that led to the untimely deaths of the passengers and crew. From the ship steering off course, travelling at a higher speed than any rational person would allow, who doesn't have a small penis and something to prove, to the lack of lifeboats and the mystery surrounding the passing ships who didn't come to their rescue. But the answer could be very simple. On the night of April 14th, 1912, 5 days into the Titanic's maiden voyage, two lookouts sat perched atop the ship's crow's nest, instructed to scout for any floating ice. They squinted through the night and the fog, squinted because, despite being lookouts, they were never assigned binoculars. I know what you're thinking. How can a lookout look out without binoculars? And that's what Frederick Fleet thought, the lookout who spotted the iceberg and was immortalised in James Cameron's classic with the line, "Iceberg! Right ahead!" Powerful stuff. The man in charge of handing out the binoculars was none other than Tingle Wilde, who had been rushed into his position and was maybe a little in over his head. and unable to handle such of a seemingly minor, if not ultimately incredibly important task. Or could it be that he was missing a small key? A key that opened a locker which contained the binoculars to be assigned to the stationed lookouts. A key that resided in the pocket of one Mr. David Blair, as he was swiftly escorted off the RMS Titanic a few days earlier, on April 9th, 1912. From all accounts, Blair didn't take the key in an attempt to sabotage Tingle Wild and sink the Titanic. It's simply that he forgot he had it. That's it. Having been ordered to take command of one of the lifeboats, Fleet survived, only to bear the brunt of scrutiny from the courts and the press. Upon interrogation, he told the courts that if he had been in possession of a pair of binoculars, he could have seen the iceberg sooner. How much sooner? The courts asked. Well, enough to get out of the way, he said. Little Tiny is written and presented by me, Kara Schlegel. Produced by Martin Peralta. Script editing by Sophie Townsend. Our history consultant is Kira Lindsay, and Ian Walker is our executive producer. You can email us at littletiny@abc.net.au with any questions, insights, corrections, or ideas. Thanks so much for listening.